The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So I thought I'd start this evening by talking a little bit about why I wanted to do this series. Partly, I found in my own practice that, especially early in my practice, it wasn't so clear to me what the mind was and what mental experience was. I knew there was mental experience. I mean, certainly, I understood that you know, thoughts and emotions, but I just didn't quite understand how to understand the body and the mind as phenomena. And what I began discovering in my own practice was that as I got a really clear sense of what the body actually is, as I became much more aware of what the actual physicality of the body is, it pointed out to me what the mind is. How the mind responds to the body, in particular, was kind of an avenue for me to understand the mental processes at work. We actually sometimes conflate body and mind in ways that are subtle. You know, just for instance, the experience of your hands right now. You know, there's some kind of physical experience going on, a vibration and tingling and pulsing or coolness and heat. And then there's the idea of hand. And those two are separate. You know, the physicality is what is connected to the body. And then the concept, there's a concept of hand. And that's a mental experience. And we don't actually see so much, you know, when we're going through our day, you know, we think about, or, you know, we just do things with our hands, and we move into the concept of hand and body so easily that we don't realize that we're actually functioning at the level of concept as opposed to the level of physicality. So that's just one example of how we can conflate or confuse or not really be able to distinguish mind and body so clearly in our normal, everyday way of being with our bodies and our minds. And so I'd like to take these weeks to explore how we can begin to understand and learn about the processes of the mind by, first of all, really clearly getting familiar with the body. And from that clear understanding of what the body is, we can start to understand the different processes of the mind and how those different processes interact with the body. So from the Buddhist perspective, the Buddha talked about these processes in one of his frameworks for understanding our mind and body. And this framework it's got a kind of technical name. It's called the Five Aggregates. And this course is essentially going to be an exploration of this teaching of the Five Aggregates. But I thought a class called the Five Aggregates wouldn't have very much appeal, so I decided to call it Body and Mind, which is essentially what this teaching is about. The Five Aggregates are five different processes of body and mind that basically make up our being, that all of our experiences experience through these five processes. And the term aggregate is simply a translation for a term in the Pali term khanda, which basically is a much less technical term. It means something like heap or bundle. The Pali for that is a very everyday kind of term. You know, you talk about carrying a bundle of a khanda of sticks on your back, or creating a khanda of dirt or something like that. So it's a very everyday kind of term. So the Buddha was just talking about five different groups of things. And he also talks about them as processes. And that's actually one of the ways that I found really interesting to explore this teaching, is in terms of the processes of mind and body. So these five are the body itself, and then there are processes around what is called mental formations, which, again, that sounds kind of technical, but that's basically most of what happens in our mind. It's any kind of thoughts and emotions and feelings of connection. It's where our reactivity is. It's where most of what happens in our mind is, in this area of mental formation. And then the other three are a little more subtle. They're what is called feeling tone, which is kind of the process of the mind which recognizes whether something is pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. Pretty basic functioning in our minds. It happens, I think, probably at the very rudimentary areas of our brain. You know, this understanding of pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral. Then there's a process of perception, of recognizing what we're experiencing. So just, you know, looking around us and quickly recognizing person, carpet, male, female, wall, chair. Just the kind of rapidity with which our mind recognizes what's in our environment. And then there's the process of knowing, of simply meeting experience and recognizing that we are being contacted by experience. And so we can get to know all of these processes through exploring, first of all, the body, and then how these processes interweave with our bodily processes. So I think it's really helpful to begin this exploration with an exploration of the body. So that's where I'd like to start this evening, is in looking at the terrain, the texture, the felt sense of our bodily experience, to get familiar with that as a process, getting familiar with what the actual lived experience of our body. Not, again, not the concept, not the idea of the body, not the idea of hand and arm and leg, but what's the actual experience that we call hand, that we call arm, that we call leg. So in a sense, what we do is we begin to get familiar with how the body gives us information or brings the information to our minds. And this is, I call this sometimes the language of the body. So we'll talk about this in some detail this evening, how we can get familiar with the actual felt experience of the body. So this is essentially an exploration of mindfulness of the body, being aware of what is happening in our body in the present moment. So this is a benefit of mindfulness of the body. The body is always in the present moment. So when we turn our attention to turn our mindful attention to the processes at work in the body, we're paying attention to the present moment. So it supports a letting go of the movement into past and future, into thought, and helps us to come into here and now by turning our attention to the body. It's a very grounding experience. Just the connection with earth, the feeling of the body contacting the ground, contacting the chairs, our hands touching. We can really settle our minds down by contacting bodily experience. So it's very helpful just in our daily lives to have a familiarity with how to contact the body. How do we contact this, basically this instrument? The body is kind of like an instrument that gives us very detailed feedback about what's going on in the world. And very often, as we live our lives, we're living several layers removed from that feedback. And so this is about learning how to kind of enter into the world of the body. How does it feel? What does it tell us? So the Buddha actually gave pretty detailed instructions on how to pay attention to the body in his discourse on mindfulness, his instructions about how to be mindful. The sutta, the teaching, has four parts to it. He talks about four different aspects we can pay attention to, and one of those aspects is the body. The other three are mental. And so that's actually another way to explore this body and mind distinction is through this teaching on the four foundations of mindfulness. The first one being, how do you explore the bodily processes with mindfulness? And the last three being explorations of the mind. So the sutta goes through detailed instructions on how to pay attention to the body. And in particular, in the body, there's like 14 different meditation instructions about how to contemplate the body. There's contemplating the breath, contemplating the body postures, whether we're standing, sitting, walking, just noticing the body postures. There's recognizing just daily activities. You know, he talks about knowing in full awareness whether you're going towards or away from something, whether you're reaching or bending your arm, whether you're walking or talking, whether you're urinating, defecating, eating, all of these things. He brings those in as contemplations of the body. He talks about contemplating the different parts of the body, kind of taking the body apart in terms of head hairs, body hairs, nails, skin, just recognizing that your body is composed of all of these parts into the organs and into the bodily fluids. Another contemplation called the contemplation of the 32 parts of the body. And then the one I'm going to mostly speak about this evening is the contemplation of elements, which is basically kind of breaking our experience into the four different elemental qualities, which can be felt in experience, the qualities of earth, air, fire, and water. And then the last one has nine contemplations, and it's about basically contemplating death and contemplating the impermanence of the body, the decay of the body in death. It's called the charnel ground contemplations, and the instructions are to either go to a charnel ground where you can see bodies in the process of decay, or imagine in your mind the process of decay of a body. So I'm not going to talk about that one. We're going to really just focus on this, pretty much just on this contemplation of elements, because for me this has been a very eye-opening and supportive practice to really learn what the experience of the body is. So I'm going to read you just the first part of this section of the instructions from the Buddha about the elements. He says, "A meditator reviews this body, however it is placed, however it is disposed, as consisting of the elements. In this body are the earth element, the water element, the fire element, and the air element." So I think this understanding of the elemental nature of experience is rooted in, you know, probably in Indian, the understanding of ancient India of everything being composed of these four elements. This is a pretty old understanding of the world. But the key here is in the experience of these qualities. So basically these four elements are representative of experiences of solidity, which is the earth element, cohesion, which is the water element, heat, which is the fire element, and movement, which is the air element. And so these four qualities that we experience of solidity, cohesion, heat, and movement are aspects of our bodily experience. So one way of exploring our bodily experience, particularly the touch sense, you know, the kind of the felt sense of the body on the surface of the skin and even inside the body, is through kind of looking at it through this lens of these four qualities, that these four properties of earth, air, fire, and water. Now for myself, I find it helpful to explore, you know, what are the qualities of earth, and then see if I can feel in my body those qualities. And so I'm going to just talk through each of these four, and while I talk through them, see if you can kind of get a sense of these in your bodies. So the earth element, I'm going to kind of move from the most obvious. The earth element is really the most obvious of the experiences of that the body produces. So this is the aspects of solidity. So sensations like heaviness, hardness and softness, density. So, for example, the weight, the feeling of weight of your body on the chair. Or the hardness of the pressure of your buttocks, the feeling of hardness as you feel the pressure of your buttocks on the chair. The solidity of the structure of your skeleton. So seeing if you can just touch into those qualities in your experience, not through the idea of arm or hand, but just the sense of, can you feel the sense of weight of kind of heaviness, density of your body? Then there's the air element, which is connected with movement. So this includes sensations such as pressure, pulling, tension, expansion, contraction. So for instance, in the movement of the breath, in your chest, as you just, right now, just take a slightly deeper breath in and you'll feel the chest expand. That movement is a property of the air element. And as you release the air, the contraction of the collapsing of the rib cage, again, that's part of the air element. You may feel rising and falling in your abdomen, the kind of pressure that pushes out as you breathe in, and then the relaxation as you breathe out. Then there's also associated with the air element sensations like tingling, pulsing, vibration. This is actually a lot of what makes up the field of our body, that that we know where it is partly through this field of energetic vibratory experience. And it's often just below our normal conscious level of experience, this vibratory, energetic experience. But just sitting here right now, you might be able to touch into, particularly in your hands perhaps, a sense of vibration or pulsing. Again, that's air. That's air element. Then there's the fire element, which is heat and coolness. This is pretty obvious. You know, we can, especially in the wintertime, really get a sense of this moving from warm buildings to coolness outside. And then the water element, which is fluidity, liquidity, moisture, stickiness. So this is kind of obvious in tears and saliva and perspiration. It's also understood as the element of what kind of pulls things together, cohesion. So in the Buddhist teachings around these four elements, it's taught that the water element is experienced in dependence on the other three. That the other three are a little bit, well, they're all actually experienced on dependence on each other, but that in some ways the water element is a little harder to touch into, that you need the earth element and the air element in order to experience the water element. And so what I'd like to do right now is to do a guided exercise to take you through some of these experiences. So first, I'd like you to hold out your hand and close your eyes, because closing your eyes is helpful to get rid of that sense of the idea of hand. So just touching into the actual experience of what you're experiencing in your hand. You might be noticing coolness or warmth or stiffness, vibration, tingling, pulsing. Maybe some pressure. Maybe a little sense of creaking as the joints move a little bit. Now I'd like you to make a fist and hold that fist as tight as you can. And notice the difference in the sensations, the hardness, the pressure, perhaps the aching, the tightness, the pulling, perhaps a burning if your nails are cutting into the palm. You keep holding that. Just hold it really tight for a moment. And notice how different the experience of hand is now. There's not much similarity in the experience that we had a minute ago and this experience. And now what I'd like you to do is to release the tension of the fist, but don't let go of the fist. And notice what you experience here. Perhaps some relaxation, coolness, vibration, pulsing. And now what I'd like you to do, as slowly as you can, really, really slowly, begin to open your fingers and notice in this movement what you notice. Maybe some resistance. Maybe some actual feeling like a magnetic pull to keeping it closed. Maybe some creaking as the joints kind of unfold. And now for those of you who've been doing it really slowly, go ahead and open quickly so you can open it. Notice now the sensations of your hand, perhaps some lightness. And not looking at your hand, keeping your eyes closed. See if you can let go of the idea of the shape of your hand and just sense into what you're experiencing there. Does it have the shape that you think of as hand? Is it larger than what you normally think of? Does it extend beyond the edges of your hand, what you're experiencing? So that's been an exploration of earth and possibly some of heat and coolness of fire and some of movement. Highlight now the heat element. Touch the palm of your hand to your skin, to the back of your other hand or your forearm or someplace. Often there's a difference in temperature and it can be kind of highlighted. Rarely the palm of your hand is the same temperature as other parts of your body. So you can get a sense of the heat element, the heat and coolness. They're all in that same range. And now to highlight the water element, I'd like you to take your two hands and put them together and blow into them. And now press them together and pull them apart slightly, just very slightly, and see if you notice a sense of stickiness as you pull the hands apart. That stickiness as the fingers and palms stick to each other a little bit, that's a manifestation of the water element, the breath that you just blew into the hands, having some water in it. And put your hands down. Now I'd like to take you into another part of your body, into the mouth. So put your attention inside your mouth. And let your tongue gently explore the hardness of your teeth. Get a sense of the hardness through the way the tongue contacts the teeth. So that's earth. The hardness is earth. And then, now pay a little more attention rather than to the hardness. Notice the pushing, which is used to contact the hardness as the tongue pushes against the teeth. Notice that the tongue is doing that movement. That's air element. Now to explore the water element again, I'd like you to kind of run your tongue across your teeth and notice perhaps the slipperiness of that when your mouth is not too dry. If you have some saliva in your mouth, the running your tongue across your teeth will be smooth. And that slipperiness is a manifestation of the water element. Now I'd just like to just take a minute or two to have you explore your breath. Perhaps in your nostrils, starting in your nostrils. What are the sensations of the breath in your nostrils? There may be some coolness and pulsing or vibration, tingling. How about inside the back of your throat as your breath passes through your throat? You experience. Kind of some hard to describe sensations. I find them hard to put words to. But you feel the air passing as the air passes through that area. There is some change you notice. Perhaps some vibration or pressure in the throat. Okay, so go ahead and open your eyes. So as we explore our bodies, this is really exploring what I call the language of the body. Because this is how our physical body communicates with us, through these sensations, through these very elemental sensations. We don't actually experience hand. We experience pressure, tingling, vibration, pulsing, coolness, heat. Through our whole body. That's how it communicates with us, through these very rudimentary elemental sensations. For myself, I tend to, as I'm exploring my body, you know, I tend to think of it in terms of hardness, pressure, tension, coolness, heat. I don't think of it in terms of, oh, this is water, this is air, this is fire. To me, that's like an extra layer of concept. So, you know, for me, exploring my body, I try to connect with a word that feels most closely associated with the sensation that I'm actually experiencing. And for me, those words aren't earth, air, fire, and water. They are vibration, pulsing, tingling, pressure, coolness, heat, burning, stabbing, tension. So that kind of language is a kind of an expression of how the body communicates with us. And so for me, I find it most helpful to explore not through this, necessarily through the framework of earth, air, fire, and water, but definitely through this very elemental physicality. So I'd just like to check in with you. What did you experience? What did you notice? Was there anything out of the ordinary that you noticed, or anything that you noticed that you hadn't noticed before, or just anything that you noticed with this exploration that we just did around the elements? What did you discover?
Is it normal to feel a heaviness in your solar plexus?
Pretty much anything is normal. I mean, the feeling. I mean, there's the feeling of pressure, perhaps here, or a sense of weight or density. I mean, there may be a holding there that you've held for a while. So, you know, whatever we experience, partly this exploration is nothing surprises me. You know, so people experience their bodies in so many different ways. Yeah, so I would say completely normal to experience that. Sometimes it may be that we kind of gravitate to one particular area, and for you maybe that sensation of the heaviness in the solar plexus was a kind of unusual recognition. So it's kind of like your mind might have gone into that a little bit. And sometimes what can happen as we explore this, I found on retreats in particular, as I was exploring the elemental nature of the body, sometimes it's like everything in my experience became one thing. Like I would be doing lying meditation and my whole body just felt like it was like rigid, just this completely rigid structure. And it almost felt like I couldn't move. I obviously could move. But as I was in that still posture, just the rigidity of the body was highlighted. Or one time when I was in Burma, this one really startled me because it was September and it was still pretty hot outside, and I woke up in the middle of the night and it was ice. My whole body felt like it was experiencing the cold range of the fire element. And I thought, you know, wow, the temperature really dropped. The next morning I woke up and no, it was not that the temperature had dropped. It was just that my mind had moved into picking up on that particular quality. And so sometimes the mind can just move into a kind of a field of a sensation, and it kind of highlights that for a little while. So, yeah, that kind of thing can happen.
Mine is just pain.
Pain. So you're experiencing pain?
Yeah.
So pain is an interesting one. Pain pain has a quality of something we'll talk about in future weeks, which is unpleasantness. But it also, you know, has a lot of other sensations going along with it. You know, if you actually connect with the sensations, you'll find that it's got perhaps burning, pulling, stabbing, pressure. There's all kinds of other sensations in there that pain is a little bit almost of an idea, and that we can actually enter into the world of that experience and notice how much it changes. And this is one of the areas where the kind of distinction between mind and body starts to reveal itself. Because as we look at our experience, so for instance, if you notice some pain in your hand when you had it really tightly closed like that, you know, there may have been some sense of painful there. That sense of painful is actually a mental experience, and we'll go into that more later in future weeks. But that's not something that we normally consider. We think of it as just as, oh, that's the body that's got that pain. But the body experience is much more, it's got the unpleasant feeling to it. There is an unpleasant quality to it. But what we call pain, when we actually go into the experience, and you can explore this in your meditation, and meditation is a really interesting place to explore this, even for just like short periods of time. I don't like to encourage people to sit with pain, grit your teeth and sit with pain, because you can damage yourself that way. But, you know, for a minute or two, if you're experiencing a little pain in your knee or something, to see if you can explore what is the actual experience of that pain. What is it? Because often when we come up with pain, or we think we're experiencing pain, we're feeling like a block of pain. It's like a solid mass. It feels like something that's just a solid, like in our knee. It'd be like this block of pain about the size of a grapefruit, you know, about the size of your knee. It's just this solid mass of pain. But if you can get past the idea that there is a knee in pain, knee is an idea, pain is kind of an idea. If you get past the idea that there's a painful knee, and actually experience the sensations that are creating those ideas, you'll notice that there's actually a very lively quality to that experience. There's a lot of movement. You can't actually pin it down. And that's one of the ways to explore pain for these brief periods, you know, just as a kind of a, just to see, you know, can you begin to move into this kind of exploration? Can you find the place where the pain is? Can you actually feel it? And you kind of get in there and feel kind of like, oh, well, it feels like it's in that spot. And then you just pay attention there, and suddenly it's not there anymore. It's moved over like half an inch, and it's stronger in that area. And you start to see that there's a very dynamic dance of sensations that create this experience that we call this block of pain. And this exploration actually begins to kind of poke holes in our notion that there is this solid block of pain. And believe it or not, over time in this kind of exploration, you will begin to actually see for yourselves that what we call pain, the vast majority, I'd say like 99% of what we call pain, is in our minds. It's not in our bodies. There's a little bit of unpleasant, and it may be a strong unpleasant, or it may be a small unpleasant, a slight unpleasant, but that unpleasant experience isn't so much what we call pain. What we call pain has got to do more with our sense of wanting to get rid of it and fix it and change it. So this exploration around the elemental experience can be very interesting in terms of exploring pain. So that's an interesting exploration. So thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, Kumi.
My knee was bothering me in the beginning. And then I didn't want to feel it, so I did something to release it. But maybe there is something that wants to be known.
So the comment was that she was feeling a little bit of pain in her knee and actually didn't want to be with it, so she moved a little bit so that it would release. And then the question is, perhaps maybe there's something that wants to be known?
The knee. Something in knee is wanting some attention.
Absolutely. You know, that's...
Instead of saying no, like a, you know, child...
Later. Uh-huh. Well, so actually, you know, pain, I didn't anticipate that pain would become such a big topic here, but we'll go there since that's where the conversation is going. Pain is often some kind of a signal that something needs to be paid attention to. And so, you know, it can be a little bit of an exploration. And again, you know, taking care with your bodies in sitting meditation, because we can damage our bodies, but if you sit with pain in your knee for a minute or two, that is not going to damage your body. So you can just see, is there something, you know, is there something that is asking to be known in that experience? Sometimes it might be that, you know, you're actually holding a little bit of tension that could just be released without movement. You know, that maybe there's just a tightening in your hip somewhere that's, you know, an extra tension that can just be released without actually having to move your body, and that will impact how your knee feels. So taking some time to explore can be, reveal some things, as you say. And this too, this willingness to meet the discomfort will really serve us as we move into meeting the discomfort in our minds. Because we so quickly want to fix unpleasant experience that we are not willing to hang out with our unpleasantness. So we can practice just even for short times with the unpleasantness in our body. And you may well find, actually, that what we think of as unbearable is really the slightest of pains, you know, the slightest of discomfort, and that so much of it has moved into our minds. And I will talk about this a little bit more next week.
I would say for myself, the experience of pain when I'm sitting has been the hallmark of my sitting.
So the experience of pain has been the hallmark of your sittings?
Yeah, and there's the idea that...
Why don't we use the mics and just...
There's the idea that what you feel while you're sitting has been there all along, and that, you know, you're just becoming aware of it. But I'm more in the camp of I was fine before I sat down, and then all of a sudden there's this excruciating pain going up my back and into my shoulders, and makes me not want to sit.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, so with pain, it's helpful to see if you can find some way to sit that won't create excruciating pain.
A recliner?
The recliners can tend to a little bit of sleepiness. But to find, I mean, it might be helpful for you to take some time to explore perhaps the height at which you're sitting. You know, it may be that you're sitting a little bit back so that your back is a little collapsed and you can't support your back naturally. So there can be some exploration around pain. We don't just have to sit with pain. And if you're continually experiencing pain like that in your meditations, I'd encourage you to, I mean, I could talk with you after the sitting and see if we could find some ways to work with it so that you won't be sitting in such agony all the time. I can understand why it would make you not want to sit. You can use, you know, something, if you're sitting in a chair, for instance, you use something rolled up at the base of your spine to help support your spine. Yeah, in the back. Could you pass the mic back?
The whole idea of the way that you're talking about pain, how do you distinguish that between true injury? I mean, if I have a bad case of sciatica, you know, or I pulled my back out and I can't even get off the floor for 2 weeks, and I speak from experience, I mean, it's not that I'm trying to run from my pain. I am pain.
Right. And so, you know, in that situation, I mean, you know, I mean, we know when it's a kind of a transient pain and when it's a damage. And I've also got sciatica. I actually have to do most of my meditation lying on my back because of my sciatica. We know when, I think we can know when the body is giving us the signals of damage. And it, you know, I can sit with my sciatica and not make it worse for about 40 minutes. Beyond that, it tends to exacerbate it. So, you know, we need to be wise about how we deal with our pain. We definitely need to be wise about that. When we're just in pain like that, that's also a good time to explore. I mean, if there's no choice but, you know, to feel the pain because we've damaged our body, you know, there's that injury. It's helpful to, you know, do things to treat it. We're not saying, you know, don't treat it. But while you're in that state, to begin to explore, where's the reactivity to that experience? You know, the pain of the body can be, when we see how much of our pain is actually through this feedback, this body-mind feedback, this reactivity of, I don't like this pain, I want to get rid of it. It almost is like we end up with this cycle between the body and mind where it clenches down and exacerbates the pain. And so if we can learn to go into the experience of pain in this way that I'm talking about, in this elemental way, we can begin to lessen the reactivity, which then can support the healing of the body. So it can really support us to learn how to pay attention to even injury in this way.
Well, sometimes we don't have a choice.
That's right. Sometimes we haven't got a choice.
And that's our entire experience.
And if that is your entire experience, really helpful to learn how to not be reactive to it. Your life will be a lot less stressful if you can not be hating that experience. And it sounds like it's impossible, but it's not. You know, it's not actually impossible to lessen that reactivity. Yeah, over here.
So this is not about pain.
Okay.
When we were going through the, you know, tuning into the sensations, the hand and the teeth and letting go of the words, you know, that describe these body parts, I became so totally relaxed. Mm-hmm. I mean, wiped out relaxed. I couldn't believe it. I mean, and I think it's because I was just toning into, like you were saying, the pulsating and whatever else. And since we all started talking about pain, I'm itching and my heart's pounding, and it's just shifted. I went from being completely wiped out and totally relaxed to actually itching and my heart pounding. So
this is the power of the mind. This is the power of the mind over the body. It's very interesting. One of the teachings of the Buddha that I love is, and I mentioned this actually last week, I think. Did I talk about happiness last week? Yeah. The phrase, whatever we frequently ponder, that becomes the inclination of the mind. If we frequently ponder, if we start pondering pain, it's going to come up in our bodies. You know, so the mental activity of thinking about something actually can call it up. So that's very, very interesting. Now, the point you were talking about before that of how relaxed you became. Now, again, that's one of the benefits of being able to learn how to attend to the body, because it brings us into the present moment. It takes us away from thinking about past and future. It just brings us right here, right now. And that kind of can be inherently relaxing. You know, that if there's not a lot of pain in the body, I mean, if there is pain, there can be that reactivity to it. But if it's just the physical experience, the mindfulness meeting that experience can bring us into a place of concentration in meeting that experience. And the concentration, the mental experience of concentration relaxes us. And that in turn changes the experience of the body. So again, there's this constant feedback between mind and body. And that's a lot of what we're going to be exploring in these weeks. Yeah, this last one. Uh-huh. Dueling microphones.
When you were talking about sensations, my attention to the sensations kind of, I guess I had a feeling of release, almost of even the concept of, obviously a concept of my hand. So it seems like a complete disconnect between, I didn't even think of it as my body at all.
Uh-huh.
Just disconnect, absolutely.
And what was that okay, or was there a...
Yeah, it was as though I was meeting it for the first time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Isn't it amazing how we can really actually meet the experience of our bodies? I mean, what you're pointing to, I think, is that we typically, the typical way that we go through our world is to, we filter our actual direct experience through these ideas of our body. You know, through the idea of hand, and yet what's coming through, you know, what the actual experience is really quite amazing. So, beginning to actually be able to touch into what the body is telling us at the source, as opposed to having it been filtered through several different layers of concept. Thank you. So it's 9 o'clock, and we'll continue this exploration next week. Thank you.